all being lobotomized by this country's most influential industry that's just thrown in the towel on any endeavor to do anything that doesn't include the courting of 12-year-old boys. Not even the smart 12-year-olds, the stupid ones, the idiots, which there are plenty, thanks in no small measure to this network. So why don't you just change the channel? Turn off your TVs. Do it right now. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Blog This Pal podcast, to our viewer feedback edition. Just a few notes before we go on. First, Johnny Bacardi, who's a comic blogger, just recently announced both his fifth blogiversary and the end of his blog. He'll be switching to LiveJournal, so head on down to johnnybacardi.blogspot.com. It was actually one of the first blogs that I read that I really dug a lot, and sorry to see him go. Hope he comes back to the blogosphere sooner rather than later. In other news, the November record You Should Own will probably be done a little bit later. I'm going to do, for the second anniversary of the feature, I'll be doing a special edition, and more on that later in the month. And right now, it's time for me to answer the questions that you submitted. These are actual reader questions. I don't make this stuff up, at least not most of the time anyway. I'm not going to do them in the order in which they were submitted because what fun would that be? First question I have is from Andy Martello, a fellow blogger, a comedian, lives out in L.A. He juggles, he does all sorts of stuff. And he asks, do you keep getting some blog comment spammer leaving comments about shitty landlords and bizarre laws regarding housing in Chicago? I've had the same one a few times now, and I was curious to know if you're getting the same crap. Not exactly the most exciting podcast fodder, but what the heck. Actually, no. I get the odd email about shitty landlords and bizarre laws regarding housing in St. Louis, but I did a paper for an organization called Metropolis, and it was a policy white paper. It used to be up on their website, not there anymore. Drop me an email and I'll send you a copy. It makes a great cure for insomnia. And what many of you may not know is that Andy does a podcast called Podcrapular, and his partner is a lady named Golf Widow. And recently Congress just passed a law. It's the Podcast Fairness Doctrine. And since Andy had a question, I am legally obligated to play the following featuring Golf Widow.
Oh my God, I think I just peed a little.
And if it's funny once, twice should be hilarious.
Oh my God, I think I just peed a little.
And as you can tell, I like to keep things highbrow on this podcast. You're not going to hear this kind of stuff on NPR, ladies and gentlemen. Now for our next question. It's from a gentleman I've just started working with at comicrelated.com. I write a monthly column there called TV Party. I wonder what question he has. Let's give a listen.
Hey, Gordon. Chuck here from Comic Related. I'm a pretty huge Doctor Who fan. Do you know of any resources out there that chart which early episodes still exist and which have been lost? Also, what's the best way for a U.S. fan to check out episodes not available here in the U.S.? Thanks.
There are actually some really good resources about tracking missing episodes of Doctor Who. Wikipedia, and I'll include the links when I upload the podcast. Wikipedia has a really good article on why several episodes of Doctor Who are missing. Basically, the BBC thought, hey, it's just a kid's show, it's not going to last forever, we'll sell it overseas, we'll just wipe the tapes, we need to reuse them, because videotape was expensive in those days. And they also have a list of missing Doctor Who episodes. There are also two really good websites when it comes to missing episodes. The first is by the Restoration Team, which is a group of fans in England who when the BBC comes out with a DVD of a Doctor Who episode, they do all the cleanup and restore the image and make it actually look better than it was when it was first transmitted over the airwaves. There's also one called the Doctor Who Gateway, which contains all sorts of interesting little articles about the missing episodes. But if you'd like to learn more and just don't like to read, you might want to pick up, there's a 3-disc box set, and they actually split it up into a 1-disc Hartnell set and a 2-disc Troughton set called Lost in Time, which are episodes from missing stories. And it actually came out right after they found the one episode of, I think it was The Crusade, which was a Hartnell historical. But you're probably thinking, oh, we'd never do that in America. There's actually entire years of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson that are gone because somebody thought, hey, no one's going to... And to be fair, nobody saw the video revolution coming. Nobody thought, hey, I want to own that on DVD. Which, you know, if you're going to lose a series, why not lose, like, Charles in Charge, okay? Lose something, lose, like, Full House, you know? Do we really need 7 years of a John Stamos sitcom? I don't think so. But to answer your question, Chuck, there are some good websites. I'll put them up. And really, thank you for the question. You know, and now we go from a really good question to, well, it came on Twitter. And it's from the Church of Klugman, whoever those people are. And it basically asked, if Jack Klugman and Raymond Burr were in a fist fight, who would win? Hate to break it to you, but I think Burr's been dead for about 7-8 years, so it's going to be a real messy fight. But let me play you an audio track of a guy who I think is behind the Church of Klugman.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
As you can see, there's a good reason why I never pursued a career in broadcasting. Put in the wrong audio clip. Again, let me put you in a very interesting audio clip that I received on the voicemail line. Just give me 1 second.
Ironside. Perry Mason. Rear Window. Godzilla. King of the Monsters. Please rank these Raymond Burr vehicles in terms of quality and the social and political import. Thank you. This is Roger Green from Albany.
Roger, I'm just completely gobsmacked. The only words I have in response to your question right now, just 2 words of advice. Chamomile tea. Also, you are allowed to take vacation from your job. You know, just get a little time off, clear all the old head. And I kid Roger. I mean, he does act as unofficial and unsolicited editor of my blog, always posting publicly about codes and videos that don't work, making comments that straddle the line between cute and annoying. And, well, let me go over these movies in order. First, Godzilla. Burr was shoehorned in order to make it work for a test audience. Coincidentally, I heard there was some X-rated footage inserted into the Japanese movie after they inserted Raymond Burr. It didn't quite work out. Andy, if you have any insight into this, please let me know. So we're going to throw Godzilla right out of there. Next is Rear Window. Important because it's a major Hitchcock film. One of his, I think his first, where he collaborated with Jimmy Stewart. It was taken out of circulation for a while because basically Hitchcock didn't want De Palma ripping off that movie. Brian De Palma, before he did The Untouchables, basically just blatantly ripped off Hitchcock. So that's first most important. Perry Mason, first of the major TV lawyer shows. Basically, Earl Stanley Gardner was basically a hack. I mean, and I mean that in the nicest, kindest way. He would talk into a recorder, have his secretaries transcribe it, and the paperbacks would just keep coming out. So he gets lumped a lot with, like, James N. Cain and Raymond Chandler, but Earl Stanley Gardner was kind of he was very prolific, let's just put it that way. And then Ironside, It's your standard mid-60s, early-70s cop show. But one of the things I noticed is that for a guy in a wheelchair, Raymond Burr drank a lot of booze. I mean, he drank a lot of bourbon out of coffee cups. And I know it was the late 60s, early 70s, but you just got to go, okay, what is the deal with all the drinking? That, and he says flaming a lot. I know he's using it as a substitute for another four-letter word, but it's just kind of jarring. And so, with that, another 10 minutes have gone by, which you'll never get back again. Continue to read the blog. You're more than welcome to. blogthispal.blogspot.com. If you have any other questions, comments, or cool guy tips, feel free to leave them at the blog. You can email them to me at blogthispal@gmail.com, or you can call and leave a voice message at 206-203-3032. And I'd like to follow the old showbiz rule of always leave the audience with the song, so here's a little something that goes out to you, because I care. And take care. Good night.
Yeah, closer, Garrett. Closer.
Was that messing it up?
Yeah.